Record. Hi, Felix. Great. In my lap.
Okay. I am recording.
All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.
And today we are...
Under the sea.
Yes, we are all at sea.
Under the sea. It's better down where it's wetter. Take it from me.
Let's see, though. There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans.
That's actually one of the lines. Oh, man, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
No, that's from the Simpsons parody.
Oh, it's better.
Homer, that's your solution to everything. To move under the sea. It's not going to happen. Well, not with that attitude. But no,
I want a Simpsons Sea Lab 2021 crossover.
I'm just thinking of the Futurama episode with the lost city of Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in this episode does kind of get ocean madness.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit.
Which is no excuse for ocean rudeness.
No.
Ah, this is the 21st episode of Rescue Bots Academy, first aired September 7th, 2019. Written by Jody Reynolds. Last seen right in Tyrannosaurus Wrecked.
Oh, okay.
The one with Grimlock in it.
The one, so with the very good, like, Grimlock voice. Not voice,
yes.
Voice, but writing voice.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So we are... So Boulder is here, and he's talking to the Croots, and he's got a special tool for them. It's a little extended grabby claw thing.
It's grabby claw.
I have one of those for getting cat toys out from under the stove.
Yeah, they do come in handy for stuff like that.
There's so many cat
things
toys
behind the washing machine
under my stove at any given time.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Thankfully, most of my cats don't knock things around. Usually, just the boys.
I think Edgar likes to knock things under stoves and under doors and stuff specifically so he can have the fun of fishing them out.
Yeah. Yeah, Cole would do that all the time. Felix hasn't done that in a while. We need to play with toys later, boy. Oh yeah, I guess this is almost another Futurama reference. It's not quite a thing longer, but...
Yeah, it is not quite a thing longer.
No one has yet invented the thing longer.
Alas.
Someday technology will truly meet humanity's greatest needs.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they get the gravity claws and they're wondering what the hell they're supposed to be doing with it, and then Boulder's like, we're gonna go pick up trash, y'all. Come on. It's an environmental message episode.
We're doing public service.
Yep. You all blew a 3 on the on the breathalyzer.
Oh no.
We're going to pick up some garbage.
Oh no.
So
we do.
It turns out
do robots have built in breathalyzers? You're too drunk to drive yourself.
I mean, a good question is, what is alcohol to them exactly?
Well, that's always been a weird thing because it's like a fuel additive possibly into Energon, like Nucleon. At least that's what it was in IDW, I think.
I was going to say...
But then
in
Generation 1 cartoon, they just get drunk on energy.
Yeah. I was going to blame the British for this, but then I realized that this predates the British getting involved.
Yes.
And it was... I think it was just they overdid it. Like, too much Energon made them act drunk in microbots.
Or it's just, like, from the source, like, it might be tainted, depending upon it. Like, ruby crystals
David Wise
get you
episode.
Drunk or something. Yeah.
Well,
so maybe it was less that they were drunk. It was more like how Alex Jones lost his memory after eating too much chili.
In microbots, they're definitely overfueling. There's no comment made about this being anything other than regular Energon. It's just that they have more of it than usual, so they're consuming more than necessary.
But overcharging is weird. That, like, you'd think that have like a caffeine, like an upper effect instead of a downer effect.
Maybe it's like flooding the engine of your car.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And then there's more than meets the eye. Which, again, we're blaming the British.
Yes.
Anyway, so turns out they're not so great at collecting trash.
No. Oh.
Although there's a point in which squirrels have stolen shoes.
Yes. Oh, who is it? The Hotshot?
And Hotshot tells them that they don't need shoes, and then the squirrel puts it on his head, and then, like, his wife
his
and child
shows up
wearing shoes.
Also shoes.
That was great.
It's like, no, squirrels clearly do want shoes.
They do want to wear shoes.
And Akara, what's referred to as just trash waiting to happen?
I think the people walking around with, like, beverages.
Yeah, somebody's walking around with
Oh, right. There's a guy who's just, like, eating, like, a hot dog or something.
Yeah. Yes.
And I say, hey, listen, what's your problem, man? That's just trash waiting to happen. Oh, God. I gotta move back to the mainland.
I do like that there are just random people just trying to have a nice time at the park, and you have these robot children running around being hyper and trying to clean up.
Anyway, it turns out that
Whirl keeps chasing around a plastic bag that's just floating in the air.
This is beautiful. This means something.
Yes, that's my thought too. What the fuck movie was that?
American Beauty.
Okay. I know that more from... There was a movie that parodied that, and I can't remember that one.
I believe you're thinking of the bit on Family Guy.
I swear...
Like really early Family Guy.
No, I swear it was in live action that I saw it.
Maybe one of the scary movies?
Maybe. It was a punchline in live action. Or maybe SNL or some shit. I don't know.
Anyway, that's a movie that nobody talks about anymore because, surprise, the lead actor is extremely canceled.
Surprise, the lead actor in that movie is a sex pest.
I mean, I feel that it's been less harmful to his filmography than some people's because he's usually playing some sort of awful creep anyway.
Yeah, it's like how David Spade is fine because he's always playing someone super annoying, so it works that he's super annoying.
Yeah.
Yes. Whereas, say, Bill Cosby, who is always,
like, wholesome.
You know, wholesome and lovable, that's a real problem.
Yes.
Yes, he did the one thing no one else could do, ruin Bill Cosby's career.
Yeah.
And, like, retroactively so bad.
Yes.
Yeah, like, at least Spacey is a dick in a lot of movies, or the villain.
You're usually not rooting for Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it shouldn't matter, but it kind of does. You know, just as how, just in regards to your enjoyment of the film.
Yeah. If he's playing someone you're supposed to hate, it's not so bad that you hate him in real life.
Yes.
Yeah. Where it's fine, Baby Driver? That one's still fine.
Well, he's kind of, although he kind of has like a heel, like a face turn at the end of that one.
He did? He was a dick bag in that movie.
Well, yes, but.
It was a secret dick bag that became the main villain.
But then I think he tries to help him out against John Hamm.
What? Oh, I don't remember that part. Then again, I also forget John Hamm existed in that movie.
He's like the main bag, evil John Hamm.
Yeah, like my Sentinel Prime Blocky here.
My eyes just roll off of John Hamm.
How can your eyes not be drawn to John Hamm? He's so handsome.
Yeah, look at that chin.
He looks like what the fuck, Mike Rowe.
And he's in.
He's more
the
handsome.
Dirty Jobs.
He's in Good Omens. Speaking of people who have been canceled.
Oh, geez, yikes. Anyway,
I still haven't gotten around to watching that.
You should though, unfortunately. Because it's still good. Just pirate it.
I know. I love the book.
It is good, and you don't actually have to look at him or anything. And he only wrote half of it.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Wedge is the most competent one here. He is the king of trash. And so next time we're going on a garbage cleanup mission, he is the leader. And Hoist is all ready for this because now he has made the grand garbage grabber.
It's got a lot of buttons.
Which is now a super garbage claw.
Whirl is impressed
by sticking a magnet on it
by the number of buttons it has.
Yes.
Which, to be fair, you can get grabbers that already have a magnet on them, and it does come in handy.
Yes.
Whirl seems like someone who has trouble not pushing buttons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And hey, surprise, our next cleanup mission, it's under to sea. And indeed, we do get, like, some fake sort of calypso-y music.
I caught that.
Yeah, well, that's fine. And dancing fish at multiple points.
And indeed, because Medix befriends a crab.
Yay!
Yeah. Oh, he has his own grabby claws and names him Clifford.
He has made friends.
Which I heard wrong. I thought at first he named him Clipper.
Bing.
But then he says Clifford. It's like, okay, that's sillier and better.
Yes. And then, so they go under to sea. I guess High Tide was not available for this episode, even though he would seem to be the obvious choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was busy.
I expect we're never going to see High Tide again. Hotshot says, last one in, the water's a Decepticon. Is that our first mention of Decepticons in Rescue Bots Academy?
Definitely.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Then that's even weirder. Like, it was weird when it came up in the last series, Rescue Bots, because it didn't happen until, like, season 3 or something?
Something like that, yeah.
I think it was real late.
Yeah.
When finally it was mentioned a Decepticon, it's like, what? And now it's even stranger. Because these are just baby children.
They're Decepticons. They're Decepticon little baby children, too.
Yeah.
Presumably. I don't know.
I mean, I would definitely watch, like, the Decepticon version of Rescue Bots Academy, which I guess would be, like, a bunch of hapless Decepticon children trying to be bad guys.
I keep coming up with fanfiction ideas I never end up writing, and I love this
babies.
One.
I mean, they mostly be committing,
My brain just wants to make them mini-cons, but... Or Micromasters or something?
I mean, they'd mostly just be committing, like, acts of vandalism.
Yes! Yes. They would be like Rumble and Frenzy. They would just be like...
Totally, yes.
Troublemakers.
Or like...
Mischief. They would be doing mischief.
Yes.
Drift's little twins. Because their backstory was basically that.
Oh, that's true.
Like, they were street urchins.
Just a couple of rapscallions.
Yes!
Yeah. What were the I can't even remember their names. One of them was shit.
Ooh, boy. Slipstream and I cannot think of
Jetstorm. Was it Jetstorm?
Jetstorm, yes. Slipstream and Jetstorm.
Oh, Jetstorm, right.
Anyway, so they get under to sea and Wedge is turns out he is really the only one who is any good at garbage collection, because Hotshot and World do not know that that seaweed, rocks, and seashells are not, in fact, garbage when they're on the bottom of the sea.
Oh, yeah. World gets herself wrapped up in looking like a mermaid. Good visual joke.
They are trying their best, but their best is not that great.
Yeah.
And then Medix is just having a tea party with the cast of Finding Nemo.
Oh, yeah. After Medix encounters what he says is an electric eel. However, electric eels, as far as I could quickly Google, only exist in South America and, like, in the Amazon River.
Yeah, they're freshwater, and they're not actually...
Well, I guess that explains why High Tide isn't here.
They're also not even eels, technically.
Yeah, no, they're different.
They're a knife...
Like, especially since what... The eel he's looking at looks like a moray eel.
Whenever you see an electric eel...
The electric eels are more...
It's just...
They're not snakes. There's some other different kind of fish thing.
They're a knife fish.
Ah.
Yeah, no, it's just... whenever you see an electric eel in a movie, it's either like a moray eel or like the kind of eels that you eat, like in that Kenneth Branagh Frankenstein movie.
Yeah, I had a thought, but they're lost. Like the European eels that they used to grow and eat, like in the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
That you'd use to pay your taxes.
Yes.
Yes. Always giving a tank of me bleeding eels to the king.
It's my ethnic heritage here. Hmm. Your taxes with eels.
So Wedge is like, hey, listen, guys.
He cannot manage these chaos goblins.
No. Like, listen, this is garbage. This is not garbage. This is stuff that's supposed to be on the bottom of the ocean. Ocean bottom stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, because Medix has the aquatic. Oh, This is the thing. I didn't actually make a note for it, so I almost forgot. When they're going down the first time, and there's a picture of, like, oh, the trash that's on the bottom. And a couple shots later in the background, there's a big orange container of toxic waste that no one ever picks up.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably empty now.
Well, there's a plug in it that's out. It's not there, but that no one ever picks it up is also kind of annoying. Like, even if it's just an empty barrel, it's not leaking toxic waste down there and creating mutants under the ocean that are going to attack Griffin Rock. Still, at least pick up the giant metal container.
I'm sure it's fine. Nope, they're too busy picking up seaweed and shells.
Pretty rocks and having a tea party with shrimp.
The tea party is pretty great.
The tea party is amusing. And then Wedge
cannot manage these chaos goblins.
Yeah. So Hoist then turns on his, like, super garbage grabber, and then instead he gets pulled to a shipwreck, and then they are attacked by a shark.
Yes.
It's a nice friendly...
You would think it
wouldn't
bother them.
They're not so much attacked by the shark as it just sort of swims around near them.
Yeah.
And it's about half the size of any of them.
Yeah,
because they're big robots. Even if they're small robots, they're still...
It does look kind of angry and menacing, though. Like,
because it's a shark. Sharks don't give a shit, especially since these guys are just metal. It doesn't care. It never tries to bite any of them. It just swims near them. Freaks out medics. He gets stuck inside the crashed ship. And names it Frederico.
Yes.
The shark. Like, it... It seems weird that they're menaced, in quotes, by a shark that never actually bothers them.
And also, we do get some fake Jaws music on soundtrack.
Yes.
A giant squid would have made more sense, or giant octopus. Like, that might fuck with the robots, at least just trying to play with them.
This is true. Also, hard to animate, though.
It's more involved in animating than a shark, yes, that's one frame you can slide around. I grant you.
So anyway, they eventually do clean up this trash, and they use Whirl's arm propellers to get them out of there toot sweet before they can be bitten by the shark.
The shark
would
does
probably,
chase them, but...
It would probably hurt the shark more than it would hurt them. But
yes,
still.
It would really have to get them on, lose its teeth.
Maybe if it got them on, like, a joint or something.
Eh.
Yeah. Still, the shark does not seem pleased about them,
so it's best
if they get away from it.
Yes. So they've successfully made a cleanup, and you know, there's still some trash on there. You know, there is, as David Byrne would say, there is garbage on the bottom of the ocean.
Under the water, carry the water.
But you know, that shark's still there, so maybe we'll do it later. And that is the episode.
They tried. An attempt was made.
An attempt was made. We were not devoured.
Yes. Poor Wedge. He tried.
So that now brings us to a different water-centric episode, All Washed Up.
Yeah, like, the titles are similar, and they both involve water to some degree. It's weird that these are back-to-back. It's interesting that they're back-to-back.
So this one, first aired September 7th, 2019. And written by Rescue Bot's fave Nicole Dubuc.
Yay.
Oh, nice.
She previously wrote the two-part pilot, and will be back for another episode before coming back to write a bunch of episodes of Earthspark.
Yep. Hmm.
And also to lend her voice to Earthspark.
Yay!
Hmm. Oh, yeah, she's one of the Seekers or something?
I think she's both of the Seekers.
Oh.
She's both Skywarp and Nova Storm.
Yeah.
Anyway, I have to ask for this episode, why is the rec room such a mess at the beginning?
That's a good question. I feel like we're missing something.
Like, it looks like a dump compared to what it normally is.
It looks like Animal House.
Yeah. Like, there's just overgrown plants on the floor, just so many things left by. It's not, they don't have to eat. Why are there so many empty wrappers and things everywhere? It's weird.
Maybe. I bet those
Was there a huge frat party there or something?
I bet those are Cades.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
Cade is hanging out in here and, like, leaving his wrappers. And... yeah.
And they're watching Heroes of Cybertron, the TV show. It was a card game last week. Now it's a TV show.
It's a card game. It's a TV show. It's a floor wax and a dessert topping.
Hmm. I mean, it'd be an interesting running gag if, like, everything that is called Heroes of Cybertron as the series goes on.
Yes.
You need a board game? Heroes of Cybertron. You need a video game? Heroes of Cybertron. You need a book? Heroes of Cybertron.
I'm curious if this is like one of those, if this is like a reality show or like one of those news programs where they just like feature somebody every week. Also, I feel like the population of Cybertron is small enough that it's just like doing that kind of thing in a small town where it's just always someone who you like went to high school with. Or
it sort of seemed like it was news like in setup and the delivery, but like the music sounded more like MTV Jersey Shore or something.
I believe this is in fact Huxley Prescott's pivot into robot-centric programming.
I could see that.
Wow.
Or he just profiles a Cybertronian every week.
Yeah. And he just asks them a bunch of terrible questions. I mean, he had to do it after his near-death experience filming an episode of I Dare Me.
Easier to deal with giant robots of varying levels of receptiveness to the concept than do any more I Dare Me.
So this episode is indeed about Heatwave, and pretty soon Heatwave himself drops in.
Yay!
And you know, he's got to go into space with all the other rescue bots and Cody for a mission.
So they're taking Cody off planet.
That's right.
I mean, I guess it's not unprecedented in the aligned continuity. We did take poor Jack Darby off to Cybertron, so...
This is true.
Yeah, but, like, that never happened in Rescue Bots. It's happened in Rescue Bots Academy.
Yeah.
Well, the kit... I mean, the...
Well,
the
I guess they did go up
recruits
in...
Recruits went. I mean, taking a human off planet.
Yeah, human's different, yeah.
Because that requires a lot more, like, environmental equipment.
Yes. Well, maybe they need an EMT in space? Question mark?
Maybe he's going to stay on the ship.
But I guess once they figured out how to rig up a proper suit with Jack, now they can just take everybody off.
That's right.
Yeah, so the Rescue Bot Academy kids are being left on their own devices without a babysitter for the first time.
Yay! Uh-huh. Whee! Time for a party.
But they have lots of chores.
Man, when I got left by myself in my mid-teens, I would just make an entire box of mac and cheese and watch Star Trek The Next Generation.
Kind of, sort of. I remember doing basic shit like that. Not wearing a shirt all day.
I did one time leave the house with a friend... a couple years older than me, known as Crazy Eddie, who was also what we back in the day would refer to as straight edge. So we just went to Denny's and then like ended up going bowling, and then he dropped me off. Like, we didn't even do anything bad. It was just sneaking out because it was sneaking out. But then my cat brought me a dead bird the next day because she was concerned that I might not be able to take care of myself.
I'm not sure that there is anything more 90s than going bowling at Denny's with a straight edge guy named Crazy Eddie.
Yes. Also, one of my clearest memories of that was that Green Day was playing in his truck at some point.
Somehow, the first chore that they have to do involves them going to Agrabah.
Yes, that is also exactly what is in my notes.
I think one of them has to become
the Prince of Persia.
Is this in their danger room? So it's just like...
Yes, it has to be.
Because otherwise...
That was my assumption, but like...
Why do you use the ground bridge resources?
Like, well, actually, my first idea was like, they ground bridge somewhere, but then it was like, so different that it's like, no, this is just Agrabah. What the... It's a market. What? There's no people. It has to be in the holodeck, but...
It's fun, why? But it's an interesting change of scenery.
It's an interesting background idea. It just, it's not even commented on. It's just, we're there to zip line practice, and then on to the next task.
Also, all I can think
again,
about
is...
Again,
we are reminded that that Hoist is a little scared of heights, because he's the last one to go, and he's nervous.
Oh, yeah, and he falls into a fruit cart and ends up with a fruit basket hat.
Yes. But all I can think of is that I think he should leave bit about the guy who went on like a Bachelor type show only so he could use the zip line.
Okay.
Anyway, so you know, but they've got all this cleaning to do. But Hoist has an idea, and that idea is the scrub-a-dubber,
which is kind of like the most competent thing he's come up with so far, I think.
Oh yeah, I mean it's kind of like it's a little bit that lady robot from WALL-E. It's a little bit R2-D2, and it's a little bit of Minion.
Yeah.
It also looks a lot like Doc from the IDW Transformers comics.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Or kind of like those robots from the Black Hole.
Yeah.
It's very round and very friendly.
And hovers. And has four tentacle arms.
That have sponges and plungers and hoses.
Well, yeah, there's a plunger arm, much like a Dalek. Yeah.
They don't have Dr. Octopus claws in the end.
Yeah, there's a hose arm, there's a sponge arm, and there's like a duster arm.
And a plunger.
Mm-hmm. Much like a Dalek.
I'm not sure how often he's going to need that at the Rescue Bots facility.
Well, I assume he would never have to crush someone's head.
I mean, I guess if...
Plunger.
Well, no, I just mean like... I guess if Cade is eating all those snacks, then he might need the plunger afterwards.
So they just, they leave to do its thing, and it's actually doing a good job.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a good robot boy.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to feed it an Energon pellet every once in a while.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a little pod that's got a little better Energon in it, which seems like a good substitute for batteries.
Mm. And, you know, we're just doing our bandaging lessons, which just means that wrapping Hotshot up in bandages like an actual mummy.
Well, they do comment that there are better ways to practice bandage wrapping, but this one's more fun.
Yes.
Yes. Well, especially since they do the thing where you unwrap him and then he spins around like a Beyblade.
Yes. Also, they cover his mouth, which is important because it's Hotshot. Please shut him up.
And everybody's just thinking, you know, boy, you know, if we made this scrub-a-dubber go even faster, we could have more time to watch TV or to just hang out. So without consulting each other, everybody just pops a couple more pods into this thing.
Yes.
This is why a Game Boy only has a set number of batteries you can insert into it.
Yeah.
This is a real design flaw, Hoist.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is after school special, like equivalent of caffeine pills, but like
yes.
Energon pellets.
Listen, the scrub-a-dubber, it's so excited and it's so scared.
Yeah. So everybody's putting an extra pill in and it's getting more excited and faster.
Whirl puts two.
To Whirl's like, let's just shove three in.
Yeah.
And it's just, and slowly but surely, it is going insane.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it can't communicate. I think it makes beeps or something, maybe, but...
Uh-huh.
It just goes about its little job, scrubbing up, faster and faster, sparking, eyes twitching.
So eventually they have almost come to the last task on their list. They got to do a volcano simulation in the danger room. But unfortunately, the danger room is entirely full of suds.
Well, no, the entire base is, like, full of suds, because...
Yes.
They were outside doing some tests. They come back inside. The suds spreading everywhere.
Just bubbling everywhere.
Bubbles big enough to swallow three of them.
Yes. Help us. We're trapped in the kid video intro.
Oh, no! Need to get a ferry to come and burst us out of here.
You gotta hurry, like Hotshot. Hotshot is clearly the cousin Oliver. He's gotta escape. Anyway, so this thing has gone totally berserk. Everybody realizes that they have individually added more power cells to it, resulting in its current cleaning rampage. So they're going to have, and they can't even chase it down because it's just constantly spraying them down with soap and water.
Makes it slippery. Also, Wedge corners it with his front end of his vehicle mode, and he's apparently ticklish there. And I did we establish already that Wedge was ticklish? Because I feel like that's come up.
I think maybe? So.
I sort of think it has come up on Rescue Bots Academy before.
That is pretty adorable.
Ticklish.
Yeah. He's a good boy. Sometimes. Occasionally. Once or twice.
So they finally realize, you know, they've got a rogue robot on the loose. They're gonna have to Jim Kirk this shit.
The overhead axe handle?
Sadly, no. Not really that kind of show.
Alas.
Instead, they're just going to have to make a bunch of messes, and it's going to have to decide which one to clean up, and it won't be able to decide, and then it just, like, shuts down.
It gets overwhelmed.
It's just easily distracted, and one of them jumps it while it's confused.
Right.
I, too, am easily overwhelmed by too many cleaning tasks. It's very relatable.
And then unplugs it by ripping some cords out.
Yes. R.I.P.
Well, it's a good thing it wasn't sentient.
Yes, R.I.P. It's just singing Daisy Bell as he tears the wires out of this thing.
Easy, Daisy.
Hello, Dr. Chandra. Anyway, so they unfortunately, the base is now a total disaster, and they're going to have to just spend all their remaining time cleaning it themselves.
Yeah.
So Heatwave and Cody get back, and Heatwave is all, "Hey, listen, you bunch of screw ups did not totally screw everything up this time. Congratulations,
good job."
And then instead, he gets into his office, and the scrub-a-dubber is scrub-a-dubbing it.
It's too round. It can't just be that round. It's not okay.
And that is the episode. This especially was a fun one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's goofy.
Yes.
I like them wrapping Hotshot up.
Yeah, so yeah, a couple of fun episodes this week. I enjoyed our voyage beneath the sea.
Yeah.
I like them cleaning things that were not trash.
Yes.
Trying their best.
A runaway robot episode is always good.
Always fun.
And especially funny in a show about robots.
Just very, very chaos goblin episodes. These kids are definitely some little chaos goblins. Except Medix, who is a good boy.
Yes.
Oh, Scrub-a-Dubber has a page on the wiki, but not the power pods.
Sadly, no.
Meh. I mean, they'd basically just be a one sentence thing anyway. But.
Yes.
And of course, that's not to be confused with the power pack, which is the Matrix.
Yes. Or the Power Pack, which is a team of four small children.
Or the Power
Block. Four small children.
Or the Power Block, which we're powering up with 3D animation.
Powering up the Power Block.
Now tell me, what were the four shows on the Power Block?
I know Beast Wars.
Beast Wars.
Was it G.I. Joe Extreme?
G.I. Joe Extreme.
And then Vortech.
Vortech.
Oh, that short-lived thing.
And then I do not remember the last one.
From the same animation studio as Beast Wars, Reboot.
Okay. So that's a little more. See, I'm used to Reboot being like on Saturday mornings like it was for a while.
It was originally on Saturday mornings, and then they canceled it and then went into syndication in the States.
Right.
But in Canada, it was always on the same channel.
The only thing more 90s than Reboot is season 3 of Reboot.
Although I'm still not sure if that's as 90s as G.I. Joe Extreme.
Yeah, G.I. Joe Extreme is incredibly 90s. But it doesn't have, like, early CG.
This is true.
Which is a fairly 90s concept.
Nor did it take the, like, annoying tag-along kid of the first two seasons and make him into, like, an edgy, cable-like badass.
Yeah, that was what made season three get even more 90s than the show as a whole. The show as a whole being, like, a CG thing about computer concepts that the writers kind of understand.
Yeah, you know.
But then when they take the kid character from the first two seasons and make him edgy...
Very weird.
Edgy adult. That is the most 90s possible thing. Oh, the 90s. I remember those days.
Yeah.
Although the crazy thing is, I think that third season might actually be from like the early aughts.
Yeah, I guess it might be.
Oh, no, my mistake. It did indeed premiere in 19... It went from 97 to 98.
Okay.
So that is prime of 90s badass kind of thing, where we're making the tag-along kid into an edgy badass and sexing up his girlfriend.
Yes. The 90s.
We are definitely going to have to hit Bosley Reboot and G.I. Joe Extreme at some point.
I'm
up for it. Is G.I. Joe Extreme, like, available anywhere?
Probably random episodes on YouTube. I don't know if it's ever had any kind of... I know it's all, like, Vancouver voice actors, so I think Gary Chalk is, like, the main guy.
Who is Duke not... Duke or Flint?
Well, no, it's... Or not. It's not either. It's, like, Lieutenant Stone.
Oh, I remember that now. I remember seeing those toys in KB now.
Oh, apparently the entire show is indeed just uploaded by some guy on YouTube.
Hey, there we go.
That sounds about right.
Cares.
You can, on archive.org, you can download somebody's uploads of the entirety of Mighty Max.
Ooh. And
which
also,
I absolutely am keeping on my hard drive for archival purposes.
And I'm pretty sure the bad guy who was... Oh, General Scar or something?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Something totally ridiculous. Who had like a beret because he was like Saddam Hussein in a skull mask. That was Richard Newman doing his bad guy voice.
Well, sort of like cross between a skull and a hockey mask, kind of.
Was he doing his M. Bison voice?
Probably.
I think it's like 100% his M. Bison voice.
Nice.
Or I guess I should have just answered, yes! Yes!
Good stuff.
Anyway, that is it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more Rescue Bots Academy action. Until then, we are all over the internet. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Blue Sky, Mastodon, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are hosted on iaconunderground.net, where David and I are also doing a kind of bi-weekly-ish news podcast. That is iaconunderground.net, and our Patreon is set up at patreon.com/iaconunderground to help with our hosting and other expenses. For as little as $1 a month, you can get access to all of our super fun monthly specials that we do for the Patreon. For March, we went back into the deep, deep well of 90s Spider-Man, which we previously visited for Morbius, which was amazing. We have fewer ridiculous Eastern European accents this time, because we are visiting with Daredevil dropping in on Peter Parker. And Kingpin, voiced by a favorite of mine, Roscoe Lee Brown, also seen in Inhumanoids as the wizard Merklin, and also like an actual legitimate actor who did big important things.
Yes.
But also he was Merklin. So yes, we are discussing that for March. For April, we're putting some ideas out there. We might go investigate who actually killed Death Cobra.
Ooh.
in honor of the successful HasLab campaign for Lyokaiser.
Yeah, because I don't think there's anything topical with movies coming out that would fit better.
No.
So yeah, Lyokaiser.
It's that time of year where there's not a lot of movies coming out. There's streaming stuff coming out. I mean, I guess there was Daredevil, which we did an episode for.
I can tell you that I've got something absolutely diabolical planned for when that Fantastic Four movie comes out.
Excellent. Oh, no. I will be looking forward to it. I will be looking forward to being distressed.
Well, so it's probably a bad cartoon as opposed to something with Pedro Pascal in it.
Yes. Or as opposed to the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie.
Which is a good movie. It's really cheesy.
Is it? I should see it at some point, just to say I have.
Good in quotes. It's...
Yes.
Does the job of being a Fantastic Four movie on a really fucking low budget.
Fair. But yeah, that is for as little as a dollar a month. You can get access to all of those. That is patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right. So until next time... When we undergo a fright at the museum and find out who's a lucky ducky, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David.